Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning there was peace, and in the end there will be peace. But what is here and now is war, not a war of money or land, but rather one of spirituality. So as our blood, sweat, and tears begin to blend into the rhythm of the drum, we are faced with one question. Who is willing to die for the light? Are you ready for the war?
Where you are.
Good evening, Israel family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yaral of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I'll remind you all to grab all your study tools, your notepads, your iPads, your pens, your pencils, your highlighters, your Bibles, Bible dictionaries, the regular dictionary, all those things that you might need for good study. For this lesson today, hopefully it's a good one to you all. As always, we want to start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for allowing us to come to this moment to give you praise and give you honor and uplift the name of Yahushua. We thank you for your word that you have engraved upon our hearts, that you have utilized to help us to become good sons and daughters and servants to thee. We thank you, Father, for the loving kindness that you've shown us through thy son, Yahushua. We thank you for the friends and family that you've given us to assist us in being good servants to thee, as we be good servants to one another. Father, we ask of thee to continue to soften our hearts and mold our hearts so that we can be more like Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. May we do the same thing that he did, and lay our life down for our brother's sake, for humanity's sake. Father, we thank you for the breath of life given us. Father, we thank you for this moment to give you praise and give you honor. And Father, we ask of thee to open our minds to receive the wonders of your word on this day, at this moment. Father, we ask of thee to continue to assist us as we put that lamp of Yahushua on our feet and walk according to the path of righteousness, walking to meet that mark, to hit that door to your kingdom. Father, we thank you for the loving kindness that you've shown our friends and family in helping them through their times of need, helping them and encouraging them to continue to show joy in their heart. Thank you for the good times. Thank you for the bad times. And thank you for the in-between times, Father, where we know and understand that every day is a good day as long as we serve you and uplift your name through thy son, Yahushua. Thank you once again, Father, for choosing us according to your will, for choosing us to acknowledge what Yahushua has done, for choosing us to be a part of your family. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank the Father once again for giving me the opportunity to come before you all and to bring a message from him to you. And this message was motivated because I had the pleasure to do the Torah portion tomorrow, later on in the Sabbath. And through reading it, it gave me motivation for this particular lesson. And this lesson is titled, Are You Comfortable with Your Monster? And this came to, the Father led me to this thing, because we as individuals sometimes don't realize the monster that is in us. And if you look the word monster up, I started to look it up and give you the list of definitions and all these things. But when we use the term monster, you know, those who watch horror movies and things of that nature, or we watch, you know, various types of movies, and they refer to a person as a monster. And that monster is an individual or a entity that is within a person that does just bad and evil things. Doesn't have regards to anyone's thinking, feelings. And sometimes we as individuals, we're okay with how we are. Some people say, well, that's just how I am. But when we read the scriptures and call ourselves Israel, call ourselves and believers in this word, the word tells us what we are and how we think. And the word also tells us how to correct ourselves. So when we are examining ourselves on a daily basis, because the scriptures say that we're supposed to die daily. We're supposed to be offering ourselves up on a daily basis. We're supposed to be looking in the mirror and reflecting on ourselves on a daily basis, moment after moment after moment. Where the scriptures talks about meditating on his word. As we meditate on his word fills us. And as his word fills us, it is starting to remove and push those things that are not of him up and out of us. But do we tank it and push it down as an individual? Do we operate in the option that we have as individuals? So I'm going to start with this definition, as always. Sometimes I have definitions. We're going to start with that definition, option. Because we live in a society right now that everybody wants an option. No one wants to say, when someone says, this is it, and follow, this is it. People want an option. Option, this comes from the Etymology Dictionary online. And it says, action of choosing, power or liberty of choosing, the power or right of choosing. Well, the first two definitions that I gave was dictionary. Now, these next two come from the Webster's Dictionary online, and the definitions are similar to the etymology definition, and it says the power or right of choosing something that may be or is chosen, choice. So when dealing with that, we as individuals, we have choice, because that's what the Father said. Gave you free will. You have a choice. Just like in the garden, he said, trees in the midst of the garden, he told them, hey, the tree of life and the tree of good and evil. He said, do not eat of the tree of good and evil. Then he gave some stipulations, right? So right here, the Father is laying an option out there. But you got to be mindful when we look at the full scope of things. They were in the garden, and the garden had a whole bunch of trees up in there, a whole bunch of trees, and all the trees were good. Even those trees that were inside that he put the, as you say, put the prohibition on. That tree was good too. But it was a tree that the Father did not want mankind to eat of. But mankind made a choice to eat of that tree. You know, just like we as individuals, sometimes we don't look at the consequences or pay attention to the consequences, because He gave them consequences if they ate that of that tree. But because they didn't really understand what the consequences was, they went on and ate of it. But now we're in a time where when we read the scriptures, we understand the consequences of others' mistakes. But do we still make the same mistakes because we have the option to do so? Scripture talks about grabbing a stronghold and putting it under submission. See, that stronghold that some of us have inside of us, that monster, we're supposed to grab a hold of it, put it in submission, and then throw it in the fire. Because this is something that's causing us to be unlike Yahushua, unlike the Most High. We're supposed to get rid of it, throw it in the fire. But sometimes we don't throw it in the fire. We put it on the side, and we try to subdue it. But sometimes in subduing it, it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. These examples came to my mind also in dealing with the monster inside. I know you all heard of this, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Dr. Jekyll, I believe that was the mean one. And Mr. Hyde was always trying to keep Dr. Jekyll under control. But eventually Dr. Jekyll will come out and wreak havoc. Another example that came to mind, Bruce Banner and the Hulk. You know, we look at these movies, and Bruce Banner was always trying to keep the Hulk subdued. Trying to keep him subdued, you know. And then, you know, in the recent Marvel movie, or one of the recent Marvel movies, and I tend to, and this one, the statement that Bruce Banner made in it, because one of the, you know, this was one of those Avengers movies, and I believe it was Captain America's character said to the Bruce Banner's character, said, "Hey, yo, we need the Hulk right now. You know, we need you to get angry." And then Bruce Banner looked at Captain America's character and said, "I'm always angry." And then the Hulk emerged. You know, so looking at that as individual, sometimes an individual is just always mad. But in him being always mad, he can subdue it and control his mannerism. Sometimes we're like that as individuals. We can be mad on call, or we can be subdued. But according to the scriptures, we're supposed to get rid of that. We're supposed to get rid of the Hulk in us. We're supposed to get rid of the Dr. Jekyll in us. This is what we're supposed to do. If we're saying that we're Israel, if we're saying that we're a believer in Yahushua, we're supposed to get rid of these things that's in us. But one of the things we have to also understand, I think I may have said this before, we have to acknowledge the Hulk in us. We have to acknowledge the Dr. Jekyll in us. Because sometimes in our efforts of living life, we're so, and our sisters, and we're not so critical on ourselves. And because we're so critical on others and not ourselves, as it says, you know, we're too busy worrying about that splinter in our neighbor's eye. But that tree is growing out ours. See, because I'm not going to call, you know, it says a log, but we're going to say it's a tree. Because something in us, a seed has been planted within us. And this seed is growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And that sometimes we even feed it and give it some fertilizer, and it's growing and growing, and we don't even pay attention to it. And because we don't pay attention to it, like I said earlier, we say, or someone say, that person is just like that. We make excuses for people's situations or for people's monsters that we have been exposed to. And that's not proper as being a believer. Because as a believer, as we said, as the scriptures teach, we're supposed to be checking ourselves day in and day out, taking on that character of Yahushua. He says, hey, put your burdens on me. I think I was talking to my wife, and she, you know, we hadn't gotten to a conversation, and we were talking about those burdens. Sometimes those sins that we keep inside us are burdens. We burden ourselves with sins that we don't want to get rid of. But Yahushua said, cast them to me. Give them to me. Give them to me so that I can throw them in the fire, so that I can deal with it. So from here, we're going to go to, we'll start into read some scripture. First scripture we're going to start with is Genesis 6:5. We've heard this one before. We even went over this a couple times. But we're going over it again. Because this is what the Father has said to us. And this is what we, as we say, repetition, 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 repetition. So we all say we want to make it into the kingdom. All say that. But we have to be adopted because of our Father. We are not accepted into that kingdom. But when we get adopted, then we will be accepted in that kingdom. But there's a work that we must do in order to make it into that kingdom also. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And it reads, Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of a man's heart was continually only evil. So in this scripture, normally I stop at the word heart, understanding. But we already know what the heart is. Let's talk about his thinking. So this particular time, I stopped at the word thoughts. And in the Hebrew, it is 4284, and is Ash Abba, and it means thoughts, device, cunning works, curious works, imagination, invented, means, purpose. And it's from, hold on for a minute. You know what? I'm up here doing all this reading, and I don't even have my glasses on. So I don't want to mess this up, And it's contrivance, i.e., texture, machine, abstract, intentions, plan. Rather bad. A plot or good advice, cunning work, curious work, device, imagination, invent, means, purpose, thought. That is the definition of, 4284. But it has Ka'ashba, and that is from 2803. And it's to think, account. And it means the primary root, properly, to plat, interpenetrate, i.e. literally to weave or to fabricate, figuratively, to plot or contrive, usually in a malicious sense, hence, from the mental effort to think, regard, value, compute, make an account, conceive, consider, count, cunning. Devise, esteem, find out, hold, imagine, invent, be like, purpose, reckoning, regard, thinking. I mean, regard, think. Regard and think. This is what the scriptures say about this word, thoughts. So then, one of the words that it gives you is think. So I look the word think up in, you know, the general dictionary, and it means to have a conscious mind, to some extent of reasoning, remembering experiences, making rational decisions. It says to employ one's mind rationally and objectively and evaluate or dealing with a given situation. So when one is sitting down thinking, he is rationalizing within his mind the things that he is doing. And we as individuals, that's what we do. But my thinking, as the scriptures say, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways are your ways. So when we are thinking and coming up with things and plans of what we're going to do, are they in line with what the Father wants? Because that's the thinking that we're supposed to be gathering. That's the thinking that we're supposed to be in. Why? Because we say we're Israel. We say we believe in his son, Yahushua. And we know from the example of what Yahushua has done that he did his Father's will. So he did what the Father wanted him to do. Are we doing the same thing? Or are we coming up with things that's similar, but yet it's not what the Father wants? But because we can think and we can talk with others and we can convince others that what we're saying is according to the Word. The Word is. Or is it what the Word teaches? Is it what the Word shows? Another term that we came across within this definition was the word device. And the term device, defined in your regular dictionary, is a plan or scheme for effecting a purpose. And then I looked up the term purpose, and the term purpose is the reason for which something exists or is done, made, used, etc., an intended or desired results, end, aim, or goal. So our thinking has to have, or we think, and our thinking is for a specific purpose, for a specific end. And so Yahweh tells us in his scripture that every imagination of the thoughts of man's thinking or man's brain, his understanding, was continually only evil. So if our thoughts are only evil, we have to change. So from here, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25. And it reads, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, neither let her captivate you with her eyelids. When I was reading this, you know, we know that the scriptures, when it's talking about her, is referring to her as, you know, dealing with a woman. But as I was going through this, I was like, sin, you know, don't lust after sin in our heart, in our thinking. Need to get captivated by what is being offered. The things that we can see. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. And it reads, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then the lust, when it has conceived, bears sin. The sin, when it is full grown, produces death. See, once these thoughts become, you know, conceived, when you deal with conception, that's dealing with birth, something that's inside us. And what it's doing is growing, it's growing, it's growing. And then once it grows and comes out, then it's like that sin is right there in front of us. But then that sin begins to grow. See, these are the things that we're doing. We're doing these things now because we have conceived in our mind to do these things. Because our thoughts are constantly being evil. And we have to understand that our carnal mind is against the Father. It's against Him. Our thinking is against the Father. And there's a constant battle between us and Him within. Do we want to do right? Do I want to do wrong? Do I want to do right? Do I want to do wrong? Do I want to do right? Do I want to do wrong? Choice and what you want to stand on and operate in. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 17. Then we're going to read verse 19 to 21. And it reads, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, that you may not do the things that you desire. Now, the deeds of the flesh are obvious, which are adultery, sexual immorality, uncleanness, lustfulness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, and outbursts of anger, robberies, divisions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, of which I have forewarned you, even as I also forewarn you that those who practice such things will not inherit God's kingdom." See, these things were taught to us a long time ago. Father flooded the earth. See, these are the types of things that were going on during that time. And mankind did not change. He didn't. Because eventually, these same practices came back up. And the Father dealt with humanity again when we deal with Sodom and Gomorrah. So He forewarned us and told us about these thoughts and these things, giving us an opportunity to change our ways, giving us a narrative beforehand about what humanity has been doing for centuries after centuries, for millenniums after millenniums. So we too are in that same time because, as it's been taught to us by one of our Marais, we are still in Bible time. The books are still being written by the angels. Our practices and our deeds are being written down. Our thoughts are being written down. The Father sees us. The Father hears us. The Father, as He says, "I know your thoughts before you even think them." Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. And it reads, "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual sins, theft, false testimonies, and blasphemy." He's talking about our thinking, family. We might think that we're not doing these things, but we are. Just like last week when we was talking about the devices of forgiveness, things that we do could be offensive to someone. But in our minds, they're offensive. They're not offensive. But yet they are. No matter how you put them, they become offensive. And then when someone brings it to your attention about, like we said last week, bring it to your attention that what you have done is wrong, supposed to, as it, humble yourself and correct yourself. But correct yourself to that person. At the same time, examining yourself and seeing what you need to do to get rid of that. Because one person may have brought it to your attention, but another person is just sucking it up and driving on. But inside, what are they doing? Tanking it. Not giving up that burden to someone or giving that burden up to Yahushua. Not giving that burden up to the Father and saying, Father, please deal with this person. To get rid of this. Oh, Father, give me the strength to go to this brother and bring it to his attention. Give me the strength. Let me armor up. As we say, put on that full armor. Because if I go to this brother or sister and bring this issue to him, I might have to go into a battle. But Father, as you say in your word, you go before me. So I might think that I'm going in a battle, but then you go before me and I talk to this brother and this brother says, you know what, brother, you're right. And I apologize for my shortcomings. Please forgive me. I will do better. That's what we need to do. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. And it reads, what agreement does the temple of the mighty one have with idols? For you are a temple of the living mighty one. Even as mighty one said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their mighty one, and they will be my people. Understanding, Yahushua is walking with us. Yahushua is dwelling in us. But if I, have this ism and schism in me, then what is happening? That idol called me is in the way. And we know and understand what the scriptures say. Light and darkness cannot dwell in the same place. So me, as an individual, I have to examine myself to make sure that I am not in the way. Like one of our Morays say, Father, allow me to get out the way so your word can come forth. But we have to say that daily. Daily. Father, allow me to get out the way so that your sun can shine forth. So that your word can shine forth. And the more we do that, the more that become a practice of ours, the more His light will shine through us. And we too could be like Moses. But that spirit is constantly just busting out of us. People constantly seeing goodness, and not understanding what it is. But they like it. And they want to be a part of it. Isn't that what the scriptures say in regards to Israel? Whoa, your God is a good God and you are a great nation. And we too want to follow after you.
Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart pure? I am clean and without sin. We can't say that. We cannot say that as individuals. We can't. Because the Father already told us, your thoughts are constantly wicked, evil. My ways are not your ways. Your ways are not my ways. And the only way our thoughts can be like him is if we're walking in his word, walking after the example of his truth, which is his son, El Shaddai, who laid his life down for our sins. From here, we're going to go to Ecclesiastes. And we're going to go to chapter 7, verse 20. And it reads, surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and doesn't sin. No matter how righteous we might think we are, when we sit back and examine ourselves, we'll realize that we didn't mess up. Like the example we used last week in regards to that when the Pharisees found that woman in adultery and they was ready to stone her. But as we know, when we read that narrative, they was trying to trip the Messiah up. They was trying to trip Yahushua up. And Yahushua said to them, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And when they went back and did some reckoning and checking themselves out, they realized that, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and drop this rock and keep it moving. I'm getting out of here. I'm out of here. And then the woman looked up and there was no one there. And the one say, yeah, you did sin. He forgave her and told her to go and sin no more. And that's the same thing that he would do with us. When we reckon it and look at ourselves and see where we've fallen short and correct it and throw it in the fire, just like in doing Passover. This is, you know, I remember doing this when we was in our, you know, when we was, you know, getting into some of the ritualism. We used to take a spoon and doing Passover and walk around the house and, you know, with a light and look for the little crumbs that we didn't put in specific spots, you know, scrape them on the spoon. See, but that's what he tells us to do on a daily basis. Take that sin and put it on me. On that stake. Give me that bird. When you find it, give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. And I'll take it away from you. Or he gives us another example. He'll throw it in the fire. Burn it up. Get rid of it. That's what we're supposed to do. But we don't, once we get rid of it, we don't try to get it back. See, and that's one of the things over the years and, you know, I've learned in regards to, you know, Pesach. You know, when we, you know, eating that unleavened bread for the course of, you know, the 7 days. And we know that the 7 days symbolizes our life and walking with the Most High and walking in His truth and changing our life. But I remember in the early stages of this journey, you know, as soon as Passover, I was like, ooh, let me get me a sub, let me get me some beer, let me get it in. Because I've been without it for the past 7 days. But now, I ain't in no rush. I ain't in no rush to get no sandwich. I ain't in no rush to get that beer. Because in the process of me not drinking that stuff, My stomach went down. The bloating, you know, my stomach, my wife say, hey, you look like you done lost some weight. So what does that mean? You know, these burdens that we hold on to is bogging us down, slowing us down. When we let them go, we be light on our feet. We be more energetic. We be rushing and ready to do the will of the Father. Because we don't have that slowing us down, that burden. You know, it's just that sandwich is just symbolic of the foolishness that we grab back and put on us. Let's give these things to the Messiah. Let's give these things to him so that we, too, can get rid of the monster within. Grabbing them by getting that stronghold, like we've talked about that stronghold. What is the purpose of having the full armor of Yahushua and we don't use it? We can use it outwardly, but we're not using it inwardly. So what happens? Just like the example I gave it. Jumping out there and not drinking the beer and not eating the bread, which bloats me and all these things. And what happens? As soon as the time comes, that the season is over and I can eat bread and drink beer again, what happens? My armor is still on, because when I got the armor, I was a certain size. But then what happens? I get big and big and big, and eventually the armor begins to change in how it looks on me. And it's just looking at, as brothers, you know, as rabbi teachers, use your imagination. When you got the armor, it fit you nice. You was tizzled. You was in shape. You was ready. You was gung-ho for that word. You was right. As life happened, what happened? You begin to bloat. You begin to swell. But yet you've never adjusted your armor. As a result, what happens? It starts to ride up on your belly. It don't fit on your feet no longer because your feet got wider. Your belt barely hanging on you. They can't see your shorts, but your shorts now are too small. They on you, but they're too small. You can't move right. You feel me? You understand where I'm coming from, family? Your helmet is not fitting right. Why? Because your head ain't got big. Face and got fat. Plate not sitting right because you got the love handles going on. Or you got the muffin top going on. Or some people say, oh, you got the back fat going on. You know, you got all this weight going on you now. And then sometimes people, what they do, they put some of the armor down. Because it ain't fitting right. Versus trying to get it right or fit into the armor. Getting rid of these burdens, like we said earlier. Give them to Yahushua. Give them to him. You say, I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you. So I'm going to go before you. But just like in the sport of wrestling tag team, tag me in. Tag me in. But some of us think that we're so strong. Yo, I got this. My technique is this. My technique is that. I can get this. I can do this. But when you grow weary, I can still do this. Because that's your mind. And that's that adversary telling you, yo, you can still do it. Do it. You can do it. Feeding your ego. Ego don't help humility. It doesn't. Psalms. Now we're going to switch in our message today. See, now we're going to start talking about eat that monster up. Hand that monster down. Get rid of that monster. We're going to go to Psalm 119, verse 9 to 16. We've read this one before. As one said, you know, we've heard this, you know, for those who are members of Beth Yahweh congregation, we've heard this one before. Y'all know the scriptures. Y'all know them. No scriptures. No. No. But now, about applying them. As I say, I used to say this when I used to, you know, used to talk to, you know, talk to Muslims, you know, talk to Christians, and we used to talk about the food you can eat. And I used to say that, you know, we can eat the, you know, the cattle. We got to split hoof and chew the cud. Why? They talk the talk and walk the walk. What's that? The walk of righteousness. They speak the words of righteousness. But then we talk about those Christians. See, they tear some pork up. They call themselves going to talk. And then I should say about them, the Muslims. See, they tear a camel up. So they talk the talk, but they ain't walking the walk. Do we want to be like them? Do we want to be a person that talk the talk but not walk the walk? Or do we want to walk the walk but not talk the talk? The choice is yours. The choice is yours. It's only two roads. Either following Yahushua or either following the adversary, the opponent. No middle of the road. And he said about the middle of the road, you know, if you're in the middle of the road, you know what? I'm going to cast you over there with the adversary, with the opponent. Psalms 119, verse 9 to 16, and it reads, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you, need wander from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, Yahweh. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I have declared all the ordinances of your mouth. You hear that? Of his mouth, Yahweh's mouth, Yahushua's mouth, Yah's mouth. These are what he's declaring. Not my thinking, not my ordinances, but Yahweh's ordinances. I have rejoiced in the ways of your testimony. You hear that? I have rejoiced in the ways of your testimonies. What is his testimony that he give us? The prophets and their lifestyles and what they have done. We've learned over the years, he didn't not write their shortcomings. He wrote their shortcomings in there to let us know that we're going to have shortcomings. Still can do the righteousness of his word by standing firm in his word and correcting ourselves when we are found to be wrong according to his word. And read 14 again. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. See, you see what he's comparing it with? Riches. Riches of this world. But the testimonies of the prophets before us is wealth to us if we can understand. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I will not forget your word. The word became flesh. Yahushua. I will not forget Yahushua. I will not forget him. I will not forget what he has done. I will not forget what he has said. Because it helps me to get rid of what I inherited through birth. And that is a sinful nature. Sinful thoughts. Evilness. That's what I have inherited. But he said, follow me, and I'll lead you to the kingdom. I'll lead you to all righteousness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. And it reads, but you, man of Yah, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. Haven't we heard before, if you continue in my ways, what are his ways? We just read them. When we talk about cleansing, or how do you make a young man pure? How do we make humanity pure? Because Yahushua is housed in each and every one of us. If we want it, it can be housed in each and every one of us. If we want it. If we choose to have it, because we got the option, the option. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and it reads, for the word of Abba is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And the Yahushua is living and active. He can discern. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in our minds. He knows our intentions. Why? Because he's paying attention to our movements. He's hearing us talking to ourselves. When we think we're in the company of one, he hears. From here, we're going to go to Acts chapter 10, verse 35. And it reads, but in every nation, he who fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. So in this particular scripture, I stopped at the word works. And in your Greek lexicon, it is 2038. And is
Ergazomahi. Ergazomahi. And it, the definition for it is work, trade, perform, do, practice, commit, acquire by labor. And it says middle voice from ergon to toil, implication, effect, be engaged in or with, commit, do, labor, labor for, minister, about, free, work. Then I looked the term up, ergon, and the help word studies, help word studies. And the definition for that is a work or worker who accomplishes something, is a deed that carries out inner desire, intentions, purpose. So when I look this particular word up, you know, sometimes I then stop and I go to different words. So in the definition, one of the definitions, you know, one of the words that jumped out at me was examine. And so I looked the term examine up, and then, you know, your general dictionary, and it means to inspect or scrutinize carefully, to observe, test, or investigate, especially in order to evaluate, you know, say, general health or determine the cause of an illness. So when we examine ourselves, what we're doing, we're scrutinizing the things that we do as it connects to the Most High, to our way of life. So what we do, this is what we do when we examine. Scripture tells us to examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. He wants us to scrutinize, want us to inspect ourselves. He don't want us to be out there constantly inspecting somebody else. He wants us to inspect ourselves first. I think the scripture says, judge ye first yourself so that you won't be judged. So if I'm inspecting and judging myself and constantly inspecting myself and making sure that I am right with you, O Father, that I am right with you, O Yahushua, if I'm right with you, O Yahweh Elohim, for he is the one who's judging us. He is the one who is laboring for us so that we can do right. Another term that we're dealing with is practice up, and it means habitual or customary performance operation. To perform or do habitually or usually. This is what it is. This is what we do. So this is something that, you know, when we examine in ourselves, when we put in that work, the work we're putting in is habitual. Constantly. Day after day after day after day. So are we putting in good work? We're putting in good work. Day after day after day after day, moment after moment after moment after moment. But if we putting in bad work according to his scriptures, if we sinning according to his scriptures, habitually, over and over and over again. And we calling ourselves Israel, what is he going to do? He going to send a brother or sister to you. What do you say in the scriptures? If a brother or sister is caught in a fault, go to him in the meekness, humility, meekness, and in love. It's not me that's examining you. It's the Father examining you, but he's using me to help you out. Sometimes we can't look at each other as the opponent. We got to look at each other sometimes and give us each other the benefit of the doubt.
My brother loves me. My brother cares for me. And when he brings this to my attention, he's doing it for my good. Because the Father understands and knows our motives for why we do the things that we do. And if he knows our motives, and if our motives are improper, you still want to learn what you need to learn. He's also going to deal with the brother who has the poor, the bad motives. As the scripture, as you know, the old adage, killing two birds with one stone. I'm going to get both of them right. Getting both right. One is going to fall on their toe and the other is going to fall on their head. Dealing with the word works, understanding that we have to put in work, that work of righteousness. Because that work of righteousness is acceptable to him. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 23 and 24. And it reads, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, who's in the likeness of Yahushua, has been created in righteousness and in holiness of truth. See, this is what we're putting on. See, because we're getting rid of that sinful man of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 5. That evil man. That's what we're getting rid of. The evil man. When we put on the righteousness of Yahushua. When we renew our mind according to the deeds and the word and the truth of Yahushua. And when we scrutinize ourselves to put in that work to habitually change our behavior and perform the duties of a righteous man. So that our inner being will be able to help us to overcome foolishness that dwells within our mind. To help us get rid of the intentions, the poor intentions, and the fake feelings that we have within us that holds us back from doing right. From here, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-24. See, because earlier we read about those works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. But now, what are we going to do? We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-24. But it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Yahushua have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. See, when we walk in righteousness, that's what we're putting on that stake, the lust of our flesh, the passions of our mind. We're putting them on that stake and killing them. Because we're filling our spirit. We're filling our house with the fruit of that spirit of Yahushua. First John chapter 2, verse 29. And see, when we read this, we have to understand and knowing the righteousness of Yahushua. Knowing the righteousness of him. And the practice and the work that we put in to do as he did. Verse 29, it reads, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. He's righteous, born of him, to do righteously. What's the old adage? The fruit don't fall far from the tree. See, if he's that tree of righteousness, and we are his offspring, we're going to do the same thing that he did, because we're following after the example of him. Our Father. See, before, we was following after our Father, the devil, the opponent. But when Yahushua came in our life, he gave us the option to change. And I think last week we talked about, and I think in James he said, if you sin in one point, you sin in them all. See? But the Father understands that we're human and that we're going to have shortcomings. But as we learned in this word today, practice. Examine it. Performing habitually. I mean, over and over again. See, we're not performing these ill-gotten actions all the time. We fall short sometimes. We get corrected. But just like Yahushua told a woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. So we ain't trying to do these things over and over again. We're not trying to make it a habit. Because at one time we made it a habit. So we already know what it's like. But we understand and see and feel and have testimonies of the goodness of what God has done for us through his son, Yahushua. We have testimonies of what he has done for others. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 through 9. And it reads, little children, let no one lead you astray. He who does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. To this end, the Son of Yah was revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever is born of Yah doesn't commit, because his seed remains in him. And he can't sin, because he is born of Yah. See, we have to understand that Yahushua, that seed has been placed in us, if you believe it. And if that seed has been placed in us, then we can do no sin, because we're not putting forth that work to do sin. We're putting that work of maintaining righteousness, constantly examining ourselves, removing these standards that, yes, I am a child of Yah. And because I'm a child of Yah, I have to get rid of this foolishness that dwells within me. I have to put up the good fight daily, constantly putting myself on that altar as that right and perfect sacrifice. I asking for forgiveness for the things that I have done wrong. First to my brother, and then to the Father. Because he talks about in the scripture that, yes, if you have an offering to give to him, hey, leave that offering and go get it right with your brother. Because the scriptures say, how can you love a God in which you can't see and you have odds with your brother? Get it right with your family. Get it right with the ones you can see first. Talked about that last week. But I can't get it right if I don't know I did wrong. Because what does he do? He used each and every one of us to help the next one. I remember years ago, it was asked, I asked this question. And the scripture said, am I my brother's keeper? And my question was, who is my brother? And it was explained to me, everyone you come in contact with is your brother. So we have to understand that humanity is a sibling to us. Because Israel was sent into the world to be an example for everybody else and to be a guide for everybody else. So if we identify ourselves as Israel, we are supposed to be a guide for everyone else. And some of the things when we go through the narrative, yes, Israel has been a guide for everyone else. Israel has definitely showed everyone else how to sin, how to do a lot of stuff. But we can also show people how to get right. And that's what we need to do. We can't be dwelling on the past and the things that we've done. Israel has done wrong in the past. We need to dwell on what the future holds. And that's Israel coming together and doing right in the eyes of the Father. Just as Yahushua did right in the eyes of the Father. And he came, that he spoke to humanity. Well done. This is my beloved Son, the one in whom I am well pleased. And this is the last scripture for tonight, family. And it's Psalms 45:7. And it reads, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, Yahweh, your mighty one, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above all your fellows. Understanding this, family, we started off being wicked and evil. But Yah has sent his Son down here and handpicked us to change. And what are we doing? We have to show that we love righteousness. And we hate wickedness. We hate how we used to be. And we love what we are becoming. We are becoming well done, a good and faithful servant. That's what we are becoming. We are becoming like that beloved Son, who laid his life down for humanity's sake. May we too lay our life down for humanity, for we are the fruit of Yahushua. We are his children. And the more we walk according to his ways and according to what he has said and please the Father, we too will do the same and get the same reward that he did. And that is to be in the kingdom with the Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to yet another Sabbath day. We thank you, Father, for supping with us and sitting with us. We thank you, Father, for the double rainbow that you showed us earlier today of beauty in the earth before we entered into the Sabbath day. You letting us know that you love us. You letting us know that we're being cleansed. As we sing a song, sprinkle clean waters on me so that I can be clean, clean, clean. We read today, how can I be clean? By standing in your word, by keeping your laws, statutes, and judgments. Clean is what we're trying to be. But we have to give ear to what you're saying. We have to stand firm on that solid foundation of Yahushua. Father, we ask thee for your help through thy son, Yahushua, through the words of your prophets and your teachers, through your words of those who love you, through your words of those who love Yahushua, through the words of your righteous people. But we can learn from one another, but that's what the whole tree of life, not the tree of life, but the tree of good and evil was all about. Learning, experiencing, and choosing which way you want to live. As we said, an option. Father, as we come before thee on this Sabbath day, as the scriptures say, choose life. You encourage us to choose life. Choose goodness. Choose righteousness. This is what you tell us to do. Father, we ask of thee to continue to encourage us through thy son, Yahushua, to choose life, to choose righteousness. We thank you, Father, for the loving kindness that you have shown to us, our friends, our family. Thank you for helping us, those who are weak, both mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. We thank you for the encouragement that you've given us throughout the course of our days. Father, may we continue to give you praise and give you honor through thy son, Yahushua. May we continue to fight the good fight. May we not grow weary, but endure, just as thy son did, just as Yahushua has done, endured. May we endure and do that great training. As it was spoke about the marathon runner, how he trains for that long run. And that's what we're doing. we're training for that long run or that long journey. May we continue to pick up those good things along the way and get rid of those bad things that we didn't pick up that we thought were good. But may we get rid of those things so that they won't bog us down and hold us back. I thank you, Father, for taking the time to hear us, hear our plea. We thank you, Father, for your loving kindness. Thank you, Father, for your tender mercies that you have shown us throughout the course of this week and up until this moment. May we continue to uplift Yahushua day in and day out. May we not be ashamed of his love that he gives us and express his kindness to those in whom we come across. Father, thank you once again for choosing us to be your people, for choosing us to walk with Yahushua. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, a holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his peace to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Israel with peace. Shabbat shalom, Israel. And you all have a peaceful slumber. You all enjoy the Sabbath day in which the Father has given us to start with him. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, we pray. Amen. And you all have a peaceful slumber. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings, for we are your righteousness. If we die to ourselves, and live through your death, and we shall be born again to be blessed in your love. Create in me clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings. For we are your righteousness. If we die to ourselves, we shall be born again to be blessed in your love. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings. die to ourselves and live through your death. And we shall be born again to be blessed in your love.
gotta stay on my 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Everybody say that they can't wait. Would you be ready if he came back today? You better take advantage of this grace and check your spirit. Discipline from the scriptures and check your spirit. Be diligent, never fear it. The fire will make you purer. Be a doer, not just a hearer. Living in a pitiful error. Straight from the laws and not the suicidal error. Get your mind right before the hour of terror. Procrastinate and be destroyed in your security. To save your life, you need to eat eggs and your mind. Sometimes I try to justify my sin, but no excuses will be heard in the end. Sometimes I try to justify my sin, but no excuses will be heard in the end. So I examine myself every day.
Of day,
the rock, the hope, the hope, the
be untrue. It's about trust.